You can call adversities a lot of different things. A flood is an adversity. Cancer is an adversity. Divorce is the quickest way in America to go broke. Statistically, broke if as a man. Believe it or not, men go broke faster. Estrangement from your children is misery. Tied up in an addictive lifestyle. Bondage. You can call all of these things getting laid off. Unexpected. But they all have something in common beyond that, and that is they all, floods, cancer, being laid off, the loss of love, are wake-up calls. The chance to wake up and to live life differently. They can be the worst day you've ever had and yet the best gift you've ever received. If indeed you wake up and look around and see not what you've lost, but how much you have to gain. So as we begin this series, 12 Steps Up, How Messy People Mature. And as we use the 12 steps of AA, or as some like to call it, recovery, there is a program out created by a good friend of mine that's called Celebrate Recovery. Have you ever heard that? Great program, horrible name. I don't want to, there's nothing in my past as good as it has been. I want to go back and get. How about you? I do not want to relive the day I almost died with a ruptured appendix. Thank you very much. Just once is enough for me. Do not want to relive the day when I got the phone call, my mother screaming through my answering machine, "Your brother's dead, your brother's dead. Oh my God, your brother is dead." Once is enough. Amen. Even the day I got married, I do not want to go back and spend 38 years retraining Paula all over again. Right, yeah, you know who's going to pull the load in this relationship, that's for sure. You get my point? I mean, I understand recovery, I understand the concept. I'm just asking you to look at this just a little differently. Let's go on. How about you? Let's go on to something bigger and better. There are bigger and better things to be embraced. There are ways in which we can grow, not just to be the people we are repeated. You know, you know, people say, "Well, I've had 25 years experience." No, you haven't. You've had 2 years experience repeated 12 point something times, right? You just keep making the same old mistakes, reliving the same old life. I want to move on. 12 steps upward and onward. Amen. How we can mature. The first step is to wake up. To wake up, and God gives us wake-up calls all the time. The first step in AA says it this way: we admit that we are powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. And of course, we know that the only thing you can be really addicted to is alcohol. None of us have a drug of choice that is more socially acceptable. Now, do we? No. Of course not. There are other drugs of choice. Work. Sex. Food. Pleasure. Motorcycle. Well, no, not that. Look at what the scriptures say. "Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead." Wouldn't it be terrible to sleepwalk through life? That's what addictions do. Addictions allow you to confront pain, sleepwalk. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to embrace this. I don't want to accept that the flood happened. It happened. And it happened because if you were affected by the flood, it happened because you're a bad person, right? That's what you keep playing. Something must be wrong. No. I told you once, I'll tell you again, it rains. It just happened to be your turn. I know this doesn't make you feel any better, but Bubette, that's the truth. You're not a bad person. God's not out after you. The world's not, there's no conspiracy. It rains. And here's another profound truth God told me to tell you. It will rain again. And whether it rains in the form of cancer or a lost job or some other life adversity, once you are confronted with it, it is a wake-up call. Then we get to decide what kind of person you are going to be and become. And how you respond in that wake-up call moment is everything. Wake up, oh sleeper. Now, I know, and let me just say this as we get started, that almost no one in this room needs this talk. But you know people who do. You're related to them. Maybe you're sitting next to them. And this is perfectly okay. Just go for it. But we all know people we would love to wake up. You know, the wayward among us, those who are going the wrong path. Maybe it's your son or your daughter. Maybe you're married to this person. Maybe it's someone that you care about. And you can see where this addictive behavior, whether it be alcohol or drugs or overeating or a thousand other drugs of choice, you know where this is going. They don't seem to be able to see where the path is leading. It's as though they're asleep, right? And you want to wake them up. And this is how we wake other people up. Now, I want to say two things, and I'll defend them in a second, that you almost will not hear in a church. One, you can save yourself. And two, you can change others. You can help other people change. I've heard all my life, well, you can't, only God can save you. Well, God cannot save you until you open your heart. God cannot. God will not. No. God cannot. Not even God can steer a parked car. That's a brain test right there. But we try. So that having been said, I'll come back to that in a second. This is how we try to change people that is futile. First, we shout at them, right? Because we think it's just a fact that they don't hear. Right? Have you ever tried that with your husband, ladies? He didn't hear me ask him to take out the garbage. I would just scream louder. And what does he do? He takes the remote from God. What? I can't hear you. And the timbers in the wall go with a sound because he's not listening, right? We just think that shouting at people, this is a true letter that was sent out to a guy by the name, I'll change the name because it's actually true. I just call him Bob. This was sent out from the Health and Human Services in Greenville, South Carolina. Dear Bob, your food stamps will be canceled as of March 2010 because we have received notice that you have died. You know what's coming, right? Should your circumstances change, feel free to reapply. Bob's dead. And you know what? The scriptures tell us that screaming at people who are spiritually dead doesn't do anything. Stop shouting. If I can't shout, then what I would do is should. You know the crazy people who you should, don't you? Have you ever gone to a sale and they, you know, and you walk in and you say, you should have been here yesterday. I'm sorry. We all have pet peeves, do we not? And I'm sure this doesn't bother you. I just want to scratch my fingernails across a chalkboard every time I hear someone say this. You should have been here yesterday. Do you know it's metaphysically impossible? Do you know that? Tell me you understand this. Well, you should have called me last week. I didn't call you last week. Therefore, I can't. Right? I mean, am I missing something? Or even, you should be a better husband. Duh. This is not brain surgery. You shouldn't eat too much. Are you crazy, sir? This is information I do not need. You shouldn't drink too much alcohol. Really? Thank you so much. I didn't know that guzzling Jack Daniels like Kool-Aid is not a good thing. Thank you so much. You have saved my life. Shut up. And I'm asking people, you should back up your computer. If you don't back up your computer and lose everything you got, you deserve it. Right? Oh, what? Yes. Really? There's just some things we know we should be doing, right? And if we had a to do it in our gut, we would be doing it. We don't need you to remind us how stupid we are. Thank you very much. We live with ourselves every day of our lives. I wake up and I say, oh my God, it's me. How about you? I come out of my bedroom and my wife says, oh my Lord, it didn't work. And if shouting and shooting don't work, this is the favorite technique of parents. And of course, this is a highly motivational effort. Shaming me. Shame on you, Bobby. Really? Can I just give you a little clue? Because I'm ordained and you're not. Your kids do not need you to tell them that they should feel ashamed. They already do all by themselves. Shame on you. Really? Okay. Seriously? I needed to get up and get dressed for this. I shaved my legs for this. And then if those don't work, we shun you. We shun you. I've actually had people who showed up in my life and said, my former church won't let me back in. Can I come here? And I said, yes, because we are so screwed up that we're not embarrassed by almost any weird behavior. Amen? I've had times, I won't tell you who they are, and they weren't me, although it was close. But I've seen people on TV, they just were arrested the night before, and they got on bail, and they were at church the next morning, sitting on the front row. Big old grin. Did you see me? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And I thought, you know what, isn't it cool that someone could get arrested, get out, and want to go to church? Because most people would say, the last place I'm going, I'm not going back over there. But now they know. We already know. Duh. You're not hiding it. We know you're weird. Now we just know how deep it goes. Right? Ugly can be fixed. Weird skin, oh, it goes to the bone. Right? And so, you know, we look at people. I mean, have you ever done something? Seriously, listen to me. Have you ever done something and you're kind of, it's kind of like an out-of-body experience. And you said to yourself, self, I can't believe I'm doing this. Watch me. My fingers are moving. I'm really doing this. Watch this. I'm going to say something profoundly stupid and painfully destructive to people I love. Watch this. Wow, I did that. And then you said, stop. And you never told yourself, stop, and you did not stop. Really? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've had that out-of-body experience. And you look at people like yourself and you think, how can we do this dance all the way through life, this messed up waltz, this sleepwalking all the way through life, oblivious to the people we hurt, the pain that we cause, and the life that we're losing, all because we're sleepwalking. It is amazing to me, and I saw it in my own family, how a person who is addicted to something can hide it. We call them coping alcoholics. Ever heard that word? They can show up. They can work. I remember when my father died in 1989. We had just moved to Nashville to start a church for people who didn't want to go to church. And we had come to the right place because nobody was coming to our church. We got the right crew. My father died, went home, died very suddenly. And my brother, who I hadn't seen very much of, came to me and said, I don't know why he asked my permission. I think he was feeling good. He said, I'm going to ride my motorcycle in the funeral procession, if you don't mind. I thought about asking, well, what if I do mind? But I thought that'd be futile. I said, sure, I don't care. Go knock yourself out. I didn't know he was going to ride it drunk. Oh, yeah. You ever heard of 3 sheets to the wind? He was 63 sheets to the wind. You can ride a motorcycle in a funeral procession in a straight line when you can't walk one. I've seen it happen. What would really be great is if people who are medicating their pain through addictive lifestyle, if they would just be weird in public, but they're not. That's why they can go on for years and years and years and years and years. And we wake up one day and you've had people say, did you not know? Nope. I don't know how many suicide funerals I've done. More than I care to count. I can't think of one where someone has said, oh, I saw it coming. Just a couple months ago, a 20-something year old kid hung himself. Hung himself so his mother would see him when she just came home. Think he's sending a message? And when we were going to the graveside, a bunch of his buddies rode with me, and I said, did you guys see it? Nope. We just had fun. We played cards the other night, laughing, talking about what we were going to do. I wish that were atypical, but it's not. You know why? Because we have gotten really good at hiding. This is how we do it. It starts when we nurse a wound. We nurse a wound. It's a resentment. It's a slight. I would have loved to ask my brother, what was the wound? Where did it start for you? Because see, I was raised to believe that bad people abuse alcohol, defective people, until my brother did it. And I thought, you know, he's not a bad guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. And then I met a lot of other good people. I used to think, Paul and I have talked to this several times, do you think people who get divorced are basically bad, narcissistic, selfish people? And then I've met people who've gone through divorce, and these are really good people. People I like to be around and hang with, really nice people, generous people. You know what I found? We're all screwed up. Some of us are just more screwed up than others. We all have that wound. The scriptures say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I didn't put that down there because you say, he's a Baptist. That's a Baptist verse right there. It's not in red, it's in purple. It's the Baptist color. Did you know that? So I tell you. But it's true. For all have sinned. You and me. Now what we think that is smoking and chewing and running with the women who are doing. And you know what I mean by it. What the scriptures teach is that our sin has separated us from God, and there's a wound down deep in our soul. An insecurity, a pain, the fear of being abandoned and left alone. The greatest sin we commit on a daily basis is underestimating how much pain is hiding behind the smiles of the faces of the people we meet. There is so much pain in this world, ladies and gentlemen. You understand that, right? So much pain. But we have been taught how to mask the pain, to nurse the wound, right? How are you doing? Fine. How are you? I'm fine. I'm just fine. Feelings in need of expression. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic. And insecure. Really? Yeah. But we medicate that pain. We nurse the wound. I love the story of Billy Graham. It's supposedly a true story that before he goes, back in the days when he was doing crusades, before he go to any crusade, he would send a letter to the mayor, and he did. This is a major American city he was going to, and he sent a letter to the mayor. I just want you to know that I'm looking forward to being in your city. I just want to always ask, you know, there are, do you know some people who maybe are going through a tough time, maybe people I can pray for? So I'm not going to embarrass them. I just like to make a prayer list and pray for people ahead of time. Sends the list. 3 days later, it gets back a response from the mayor of that American major city, and it was the phone book. That's my kind of mayor. How about you? We could definitely do that in Nashville, couldn't we? Just send him the phone book, man. Ain't nobody he ain't been touched. And that's what happens in life. We nurse the wound. We think we're the only one who's ever lost everything in a flood. And though we know that's not true, it doesn't make us feel any better. Or you think we're the only one who's ever gone through a divorce. And though we understand that as a common experience, it doesn't make us feel any better. We're the only one who had a father who was mean and abusive to us. If nothing else, verbally. But your wound is your wound. Right? It is your wound. And it is no one that has a wound like that one. And we're crying out, does someone care? And when we don't get a response, it's painful. It's painful. Trust me, as we all go back to quote unquote new normal, people who are still recovering from the Nashville flood will say, where did all of our buddies go? That's painful. Where is God? That's painful. So what do? We nurse the wound. We medicate the pain so that we cannot, so we don't have to feel anything. And we go to sleep and we sleepwalk. I mean, that's what alcohol does. It's an escape. I can feel better. That's what snorting a coconut cream pie every night through a straw does for you. It gives you a sugar high. It makes you feel better, right? It's what dumping on people. Have you ever said, I would love to give that person a piece of my mind, and you realize you don't have too many pieces to spare? But you do, and you don't feel any better. This is how the scriptures explain this. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, trespass is a big Bible word that we think, well, I've never trespassed. You have trespassed all the time. A trespass is like, you know, in basketball, they have a court and they have lines around that court, right? Okay, good. I know you're there. I hear you breathing, right? So if you step over that line, they say you are out of bounds. And the Bible word is transgress. You have football and there's a field and it has lines on it, right? And if you step over that, they call this the sideline. And if you step over that line, they declare that you are out of bounds. In the Bible perspective, that's a transgression. So we are dead in our out of boundness, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the kingdom of the ruler of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived like that one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature. That's it. The pain hurts. The wound hurts. Nobody can heal it. Nobody cares. Everybody out is living their normal life. And here I am. I feel alone, abandoned, unloved, uncared, and uncelebrated. And yet the scriptures say, because of God's great love for us, he who is rich in mercy made us alive. He woke us up in Christ. Christ, loving Christ, knowing Christ is the only wake-up call that will ever work. It works. When you meet Christ in a conversion moment, when you understand that the pain is never going to go away, that the wound is a wound we all bear and we're all bearing our own stuff. You have to find someone who's, number one, not wounded. Number two, cares about your wound. And there aren't many. What else we do? We mask the insanity. And we're great at it, aren't we? We can hide. We can go to work. We can carry on a conversation. We can function in life. We can do things that you wouldn't think that people like us who are not fully there can do. Like the scripture says in Jeremiah 8, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. It's like putting Band-Aid on cancer. Peace, peace. It's all okay. It's all going to be. Just put a little methylate on it. Yeah, but my leg is hanging by one little shred, a piece of meat. It'll take a while, but it'll reconnect. Just put a little alcohol on it. Yeah, boy, that'll send you in heaven. So what do? We nurse the wound. We medicate the pain. We mask the insanity. And we hide the evidence. We're hiders, aren't we? We love hiding everything. Hide everything. I heard a guy say this the other day. So I won't be responsible for what I'm getting ready to say. Even though it's true, I could be, hurt for this. But it is true. Let's say you are in a situation where your house needs to be cleaned. And you're working, you're busy, and your wife's working, she's busy, and everybody's busy. And so you hire someone to come in and clean the house ever so often. Are you with me so far? This is complicated, so just stay with me. As a guy in that situation, when I got up that morning, the morning of the person going to come clean the house, I would not make up the bed. I wouldn't. I'm just admitting it right now. I know you're shocked. I hear the silence. But I got a feeling most of the men in this room wouldn't. But most of the women in this room would. That's wrong. Make up the bed. The cleaner's coming. Really? People come over. What do you do? Stuff everything in the closet. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We got company. That's why you never have company, right? We want to hide everything up, cover it up, cover up the evidence. There is a pride in us. There is a stubbornness in us. And by the way, let me be very careful. Do not confuse stubbornness with strong will. Strong will is a good thing. A person with strong will, you want me to tell you the difference between stubbornness and strong will? A person who is stubborn will hit themselves in the head with a hammer and say, "Ow, that hurts." Are you with me? A person who has strong will may, because they're weird, like all the rest of us, hit themselves in the head with a hammer. All right, are you with me? This is complicated, so stay with me. The person with strong will say, "That hurts," and put the hammer down. I mean, like, lay it down. I mean, like, put the hammer down. The stubborn person will say, "Ow, that hurt. Let's see if that was the hammer." Boom. Wow, that was the hammer. Let's just see how the hammer hit me in the head. Boom. The hammer's in my hand. Wow. Let's just see how my hammer in my hand got to my head. Boom. Oh, my arm moved. You know, and, you know, it will be a long, I mean, they'll be bleeding. Man, maybe I should stop this in a minute, in a couple of years. I got to figure this out. God opposes the stubborn. He opposes the prideful. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here's the truth. What you uncover, God will cover. What you cover, He will uncover. So, how do you wake up? ESPN, really quickly. E, I'm willing to expose the truth about myself. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Are you willing this morning to expose the truth about yourself? That you are a sinner, broken, in need of a Savior. Are you willing to bow and say, I repent of my sin and my weirdness and my self-righteousness and my self, you know, the belief that I can do anything and fix myself, that I am my own grandpa? I'm willing for God to expose the truth. Here's the truth. You will not behave in a way over time that is different from how you truly see yourself. That's why this is the first step. I am willing for God to expose my sin, me, my addiction, whatever it is. Two, I am ready to surrender. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from the slavery to this deadly weirdness? Thank God it has already been done in Christ. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, Psalm 34. And saves those of a crushed spirit. Lord, I'm willing to expose, I want you to expose the truth about me. I am a broken sinner. I do not have the power to set myself free from any addiction. I will continue to repeat this immaturity and this self-destructive behavior. I will hurt the people I love until I just simply ask you to come in and I surrender to your love and to your power. Listen, admitting that you are powerless is not the same thing as saying, I am hopeless. Submit yourselves to the Lord. P, I will stand on the promises. This is what Jesus said to a woman whose brother had just died. I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies just like everyone else will, he will live again. He is given eternal life for keeping all the rules. Not, right? Are you reading this stuff or is it just me? He has given eternal life for believing in me. Confessing that Jesus Christ is my God and my creator and my redeemer. I embrace him by faith. I believe that he lived, that he died, that he was resurrected, that he is the Son of God, and that he justified God's wrath toward me. And now I am embraced by grace and I have all of the promises. I have been adopted into the family. I now call God Daddy. Abba, Daddy. And here's the last one. I answer to a new name. God, I'm willing to expose the truth about myself. That's the is. I surrender and submit to your love. Because until I surrender and submit to his love, I can't know his love. Because that is the quality. That's how I save myself. I save myself when I expose my own brokenness, when I confess my own sin, when I repent of my own way, and I say yes to Jesus Christ, and I surrender to his love. I fall into his embrace by faith, and I then stand on the promises. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Love that word, saved. Good old Baptist word, saved. I am saved. I'm born again. I'm prayed up, paid up, and ready to go straight up. When I would leave the house, when I was a teenager, my dad would say, where are you going? You know what I'd tell him? Riding. Out, that's a good one. Riding. My generation invented cruising. Everyone else, a pitiful imitation. We're going riding. When you be back? Later. And every once in a while he'd say, listen, just, and then he would say, be good. Okay. Which I translated in my little teenage boy brain, don't get caught. And then he would say, every once in a while, every night, he'd say, just remember whose son you are. I always remember that. And I thought, as a Christian, I have a new name. I have a friend of mine whose name many of you would know, who gets up every Sunday morning, and this is how he induces. He says, hello, saints. Hello, sinners. And he's a brilliant man saying something really stupid. He needs to stop it. You ever said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? No, you're not. You are a saint. You've been adopted in the family of God. You are different. This is not a club like the Boy Scouts or the country club. This is a life. Are you with me? This is a relationship that will endure forever. I am now part of the family. Now, do I embarrass the family? Often. Do I not always uphold the family name on a regular basis? I can't be too bad and keep my job. So, you know what? There are some, you know, things in which I could just, you know, weirdness I'm not going to. But listen to this, the last part of the verse. How great is the Father's love who has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And then go on down a couple more sentences. Everyone who has this hope that I have a new name and a new relationship, I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I have a new heart and a new soul and new eyes. I can look at life differently. I have awakened to life as it is and am tied my heart to a God who can make it as it should be. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Father, as we bow before you, I ask you in Jesus' name to save men and women in this room. Save their souls, wake them up, and give them a new life. In Jesus' name, I confess my need for a Savior. In Jesus' name, I confess my own sin and stubbornness and waywardness. In Jesus' name, I confess that I am undone, that I am powerless against anything in this life that would come against me on my own. I cannot endure brokenness. I cannot endure betrayal. I cannot endure adversity. I cannot survive a flood. I cannot be healed from cancer. I cannot rebound from a ruptured appendix. I cannot get over burying my mother and my father and hundreds of people. I cannot get over anything that I face on my own. And I confess that I need you. I pray in Jesus' name that men and women in this room would confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that they would wake up and say, dear God, I am a sinner. I am powerless. I'm going to lose everything. I need something I can never lose. I need something I can't earn. I need something that won't walk away. I need your love. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.